Well, I'm excited, the new series. But I kind of like going back and forth, Pastor Rick. That's fun. And looking forward to hearing from Greg and Noah as well. More of a thematic series. The title is Wisdom for Skillful Living. Now, I cannot take credit for that. My wife told me how to title it. So she says, "You are so old school." No, we're not calling it that. But Wisdom for Skillful Living. So what is a proverb? A proverb is a skillful saying. It's a short, clever saying that offers wisdom. And so that is what Proverbs is. Now, where did we get the Proverbs? Now, obviously, it's the Word of God. It's breathed out by the Holy Spirit, and God gave the ability for someone to write that. And the man that wrote most of the Proverbs is King Solomon. King Solomon. He wrote these time-honored sayings, this wisdom that is found in Scripture. I'll read to you 1 Kings. 1 Kings in chapter 4, there is an account of King Solomon. If you remember, King Solomon is the son of David and Bathsheba. And when David died, his father, Solomon, became king. And he did something wise. He said, "God, I don't know how to lead these people." And the Lord said, "What is it that you want, Solomon?" So instead of asking for wealth and riches, he asked for wisdom. And God gave it to him. And it says, God gave Solomon very great wisdom, an understanding and knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore. That's a lot of wisdom. In fact, his wisdom exceeded all of the wise men of the East and the wise men of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan, the Ezrahite, and the sons of Mahon, Hermon, Chalcol, and Darka. His name spread throughout all the surrounding nations. He composed some 3,000 proverbs and wrote 105 songs. He could speak with authority about all kinds of plants and the great cedar of Lebanon to the tiny hyssop that grows from cracks in a wall. He could also speak about animals, birds, small creatures, and fish. And kings from every nation sent their ambassadors to listen to the wisdom of King Solomon. So Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs, but he didn't write all of them, but most of them he wrote. And the Lord granted him this wisdom. You know, what is sad about King Solomon is that he started his reign in wisdom, but he ended in great shame. So there's a warning for us in this. It's one thing to have the knowledge and to have wisdom, but it's another thing to walk wisdom out. So what happened to Solomon? Well, his heart began to turn away from God. It says in 1 Kings chapter 11 that Solomon, he aligned himself with other nations by marrying heathen women. And I think they were responsible for turning his heart away from God. How tragic it is that Solomon did not heed the very writings that he wrote. So be warned, be warned. The book of Proverbs can be divided up in two sections. Chapters 1 through 9 is the introduction. Wow, that's a lot of introduction. It's like one of our pastor's introductions, right? They're long. I'm not going to do that to you today, but it's a long introduction. And so what the writer was doing in that introduction, he was telling us how important it is to get wisdom. It's like a father speaking to a son, okay? And he takes 9 chapters to do that. In chapters 10 through 31, the second half of Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings. Now, it's not just little excerpts of sayings, but it's also some hymns. There are quite a few verses where it would be a hymn, okay? Proverbs is the fountainhead of what we call the wisdom literature of the Bible. Wisdom literature. So we could include Ecclesiastes. We could include Job, for sure. And so what happens when we read the Proverbs? Where can we go wrong? Well, we can go wrong by taking these short sayings and using it like a promise. So we have to be careful there. They are not promises. Later on, in another message, we'll speak about that. So we have to be careful with the Proverbs. Now, the Proverbs are true, but we will find exceptions, okay? And those exceptions, we can see it in other wisdom literature like Job and Ecclesiastes, okay? So be careful with the Proverbs and don't take it like, hey, I'm going to claim that. Just be careful. Now, the Proverbs will ultimately be found true, ultimately, okay? But in the Proverbs, some are obscure. Some are obscure, and so we need to have wisdom just to try to understand what the writer is talking about. So keep it in context, okay? Now, when you think about reading the book of Proverbs, and here's the way I am. And a friend of mine, we were talking about this once. He is a linguist. He is the head of Wycliffe Bible Translators. This guy is so smart. My goodness. He is just amazing in languages. And when he was a young man, he made his living as a carpenter back on the East Coast. Very good carpenter. A man's man. Man, he is just a tough guy, but he's also smart. Man, God gifted him. But he felt a call to go into the mission field. And as he began to walk that out, he figured out that he was good in languages. And so he would go to the library. And he would get so frustrated, he would tell me, because he wanted to read every book in the library. He just wanted to gain all this knowledge, and who knows, he may could have. But he said it finally came to him, you know, I was seeking knowledge for the wrong reason. I just wanted to be smarter than everybody else. So we have to be careful, all right? It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to have wisdom, okay? So it's not about your IQ. Thank goodness, Lord. Right. It's not about our IQ. We must become skilled in our understanding, apply knowledge so that it becomes practical wisdom in order to live well in this world. Have you ever heard the term common sense? You know, my mom would say that. Well, you may be smart, but where's the common sense, you know? Common sense. Practical. So, godliness is practical, and that's what Solomon is trying to teach us. I came across a quote by Dr. Henrietta Mayers, and it's so fit. I just want to read you this quote, okay? Now, we've had many sermons out of the Psalms, but now we've come to Proverbs. In Psalms, we find Christians on their knees. In Proverbs, we find Christians on their feet. The Psalms are for Christian devotion. The Proverbs are for the Christian's walk. The Psalms are for the closet of prayer. The Proverbs are for the business place, home, and the playground. I like that. I like that. That's very practical. Okay, so let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And I've just got 2 points today. 2 points. No poem, I'm sorry. But 2 points. And this, there again, is an introduction. Proverbs 1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. So the author identifies himself here at the beginning. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables. The words of the wise and their riddles. Now, verse 7 is a common theme. You'll see it many times throughout Proverbs. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. This is the Word of God. So, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Have you ever known someone that's really wise and you have gone to them for advice or counsel? It's kind of like the sage. You know, we go to the sage to seek wisdom. So what are we looking for? Sometimes we go to a wise person and we don't like what they say. That's how it is with the Word of God sometimes. Because here early on, we see wisdom is discipline. Wisdom is discipline. It is correction. What this entails, it's like a discipleship type of relationship where you can be warned. You can be challenged. You can be corrected. Wisdom is godly counsel. And sometimes in godly counsel, correction is needed. But it's not always on the counselor's part. It's on your part as well. Because what God calls us to do is to be honest and open. If you're going to be discipled, if you're going to be a person that gets wisdom, you're going to have to be honest with God and honest with the people that you're going to for counsel. This certainly has happened to me in my life. And oh, the folly that I have got myself into. I've heard sayings like this, mostly from my parents. And I knew I was in trouble when they would say, "You're not living right." And I knew it. Usually when I heard that, I wasn't going to them for counsel. They were parenting me. "You're not living right." Or I would hear, "Just what do you think you're doing?" Or this phrase, and I've said this recently, "I've been where you're going. I've been where you are going. This will not end well. Now, if that is not corrective, I don't know what is. But wisdom is corrective. It is discipline. And wise people will live well. Let's go on to verse 2. It will help them understand the insights of the wise. I'm sorry, verse 3. The purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. Wisdom is knowledge of good and evil. Does it bother you when you see injustice in the world? Boy, it does me. My wife says we have to be careful about the movies we choose because sometimes, you know, at the end of the movie, I'm all upset because the good guy didn't win. I don't like that. I want to see justice done. I want to see good prevail. But it doesn't always, certainly not in the movies, okay? But wisdom tells us and shows us what is good and right. A wise person can tell the difference between right and wrong in situations that they may find themselves in. This applies also to the world that you and I live in every day. The chaos and confusion in our society, it's happening because people are doing what is right in their own eyes. They have not sought the wisdom of the Scriptures. Good and evil are revealed in the Word of God. And to know the difference between good and evil is wisdom. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. In 1973, I was in high school. And one of my favorite teachers was our principal. He taught one class in high school. Back in those days, we called it civics, but now we call it government. Do you still have government, teenagers? Yeah, it's a good thing to study government. And I'll never forget, he walked into the classroom, and he always just commanded such respect. I respected him. He put up with no nonsense, but he was a good teacher. He taught us well. He was always prepared, and he was one of the first teachers that I remember who ever allowed a class to have open discussion. You get out of line, he'd shut it down real quick. But I so respected him. And he always taught from behind a desk. You never saw him sit down. And he was left-handed, and when he wrote on the board, I mean, he was just, you know, waved that arm, and he wrote really big letters. I remember that about James Alexander. But I remember he wrote on the board in 1973, Roe versus Wade. Shh, underlined it. He turned around, he said, our country is going down the wrong road. You all know what happened, Roe versus Wade, right? We legalized abortion. It was wrong, but nevertheless, it happened. It is a sin to ignore the truth of God's Word. Those who are wise will not justify their sin. They will repent. They will turn away from their sin. We don't make up our own definition of good and evil. That is God's job. But there again, a wise person knows the difference between good and evil. Wisdom is also discernment. Wisdom is discernment. We all need discernment. I'm going to talk to the young people here. Verse 4. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. Oh, it's good to be young. It is, it really is. The Proverbs will sometimes place people in categories. There are mocking people, people who will mock and make fun of wisdom or the Word of God. There are foolish people. There are people who are young and inexperienced. So the young and the inexperienced, they are not yet wise or foolish. You're young. You're pliable. You're learning. And so Solomon is zeroing in on the young. Because you know why? It's not too late. You're not set in your ways. So it's good to be young. Now, there is a warning when you're young. Don't be young and gullible. Don't just believe everything you hear, okay? Do not be easily influenced, young people. This is the audience that Proverbs is going after, because there is still hope. Gain wisdom while you're young. Those who are young and inexperienced need to acquire wisdom so they can have the ability to see the truth of what is really going on. That is discernment. Discernment. We all need discernment in order to make right decisions and avoid bad ones. I hear my kids telling my grandkids, "Is that a good decision you just made?" That's a pretty good way to parent. Teaching them to make right choices via discernment. What is really going on here? I had an experience in a church where I was called on to help pastors become better counselors. That was my job and part of my job. So we had all of these pastors on staff, and nobody wanted to do marriage counseling. I wonder why that is. Because marriage counseling is hard work, okay? So in my department, we had staff that would help with interviews, okay? We call that an assessment. So what I would do in order to train pastors to be able to counsel was I would sit in on some of the counseling sessions. And tell you what, I learned a lot. I learned a lot. Learned a lot from other people. But there was this young man who was a bit impetuous. Man, he could preach the paint off the wall, let me tell you. Woo. He could preach and teach. But I don't think he was a very good counselor. The problem was he saw everything in black and white, man. and he wasn't very kind. So I had already done this assessment on this couple. I'd met with them. I'd met with the man individually. Another person on staff had met with the wife. We had compared notes. And so we always had a folder, a packet to look at before we went into counseling. And so I'm sitting with this young pastor, and he's going through the assessment notes, and he goes, "I see what's going on here. I can see it right away." I go, "What do you see?" Well, this man's lazy. This man's selfish. This man's a slob. This man's taking advantage of his wife. He's just a horrible husband. I discern what's going on here, and I go, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't say that in the meeting." "What do you mean?" "He needs to be confronted." "Well, yeah, but you've got to, you know, be kind and help him to come to his own understanding here. You know, you can't just blurt this out like some prophet." "Really?" "Yeah, you can't do that. Let me take the lead. And then if you feel like you have something to say, you can interject it." And this young man is, he's just, you know, ready to go. I go, "Oh, please, just calm down, just calm down." So the couple comes in, and they knew this pastor because they liked his preaching. They liked his teaching. You know, "Oh, wow, we get you." And then they find out I'm leading the counseling session. Oh, gosh, you know. But I'm going on, and I'm certainly not the best counselor, but I try. And I got to the point where I asked this young man, and they hadn't been married but about 4 years. They had two children. And I said, "Well, just, you know, tell me about your day, what you do. Tell me how it goes." And I had the assessment, you know. And I had something that I wanted to nail him with. I wanted to make him accountable, but I'm trying to go about it in a nice way. So anyway, he starts telling us what he does. "Well, I have to be at work by 7:30, so I usually leave the house at 6:30. I get up out of bed. I get dressed. I drive to either Starbucks or McDonald's. I eat my breakfast on the way to work." And, "Okay, well, you work. How's that?" "It's going good. You know, I sit in a cubicle. I do my thing. And then I get home about 4:30. "Oh, you get home early." "Yeah, I get home early. What do you do?" "Well, I turn the TV on. I watch my favorite show, Friends. I get a snack. I sit down. I wait for my wife to get home." "Oh, what's your wife doing?" "Oh, she's not getting home till about 5:36, but she goes by the daycare and she picks up our kids. She brings them home." "What happens then?" "Oh, I just keep watching TV till she gets dinner on the table." "Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, what happens then?" "Oh, well, after dinner, you know, I try to watch a little more TV. And, you know, after, you know, we get the kids to bed, I go back and, you know, try to watch a little more TV. But sometimes I fall asleep on the couch." And all of a sudden, this counselor with me, this pastor, he goes, "Well, how's that working for you?" Nailed him. He could not keep that discernment back. My next words were, "Do you think you're being a little lazy? Do you think you're being a little selfish? Do you think you're serving your wife well?" I didn't know what I was doing. "You need some discernment here." Discernment comes from people who have wisdom. They can see not only the big picture, but they can see what lies at the heart of the matter. We all need discernment. Wisdom is also guidance. We saw that in verse 5. Let the wise learn. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Become even wiser. So we never get to the place to where we know it all, right? I hope that we're all still learners. We need to grow in our wisdom. We grow in our learning. It helps us follow God's path for our lives. And we never come to the place where we have arrived. We need to continue this attitude of learning and growing. And so as we do, we become more skillful in wisdom. Wisdom is not a goal to attain. It is a pursuit to spend the rest of our life on. Wisdom is guidance. And then also, it is an attitude of humility. Humility. Proverbs 15, 32 through 33. If you reject discipline, you only hurt yourself. But if you listen to correction, you will grow in understanding. Fear of the Lord teaches wisdom, and humility always precedes honor. This attitude of humility is so important. You know, things are going well in our life and we think we're really something. We become arrogant and prideful. God help us. We all need correction. Wisdom's attitude is humility. Let's just segue straight into verse 7. How do we get wisdom? Last point. How do we get wisdom? Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Fear the Lord. So the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of understanding, is the fear of the Lord. That's how we begin to get wisdom. That's how Solomon began to get wisdom. God, I need wisdom. The book of James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, what should he do? Ask the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to trust God. It means to honor the Lord. Honor the Scriptures. I hope you've noticed, but Pastor Rick and myself, when we stand before you and we're proclaiming the Word of God, we're trembling, we're shaking. Because this is God's words. And we want to honor that. We have to be careful with how we treat the Word of God, because God's Word is sacred. There is a reverence that comes from knowing the Lord. We have to learn to depend on God and not ourselves. We humble ourselves before the Lord. The everyday nitty-gritty details of our lives are to be lived in the fear of the Lord. They really should be. God sees all. He knows all. The only way to be wise is to trust in the Lord and be in relationship with Him. You know, if we create this habit of asking the Lord. I don't know if you've ever had this task to do something that you just simply have never done before. Now for me, because I'm a guy, I don't want to look at the instructions. But let me tell you what I do. Lord, help me. Lord, would you help me? I've learned that habit. Lord, help me. That's a good prayer to pray. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Comes from the Lord. Now, I just want to interject the gospel here. Ultimately, wisdom is not some proverbs, although wisdom is in the proverbs. But ultimately, true wisdom is found in knowing God through Jesus Christ. Christ has been made unto us wisdom, it says in 1 Corinthians. Why not come to know a person to gain wisdom? His name is Jesus of Nazareth. You can know Him. You can have a relationship with Him. It's through a relationship with Jesus that we can be reconciled to God. And God is the source of all wisdom. Here's how it happens. When we come to saving faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our heart. Now that's enough to blow your mind. But the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. It's okay to say Jesus is in our heart, because He is. But what happens is His life begins to work its way out in our lives. And that's wise. Wisdom will be worked out in our life. Jesus produces this life if we will cooperate with it. You can be a person of wisdom by letting Jesus' life work its way out in your life. Remember what I told you before? The Proverbs is for the workplace. The Proverbs is for the home. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let the life of Christ work its way out in your life. I'll close with a few scriptures. And this is found in 1 Corinthians. I think it would be good to go home and read 1 Corinthians. You could start at verse like 18 and read through the end of chapter 2. I won't do that this morning. I'll just read a few. But this section of Scripture is called the wisdom of God. Verse 30 of chapter 1, it says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. See, that's the ultimate wisdom. To reject this truth is to reject the only hope for humankind. Christ is the hope. The gospel is the hope. It is the wisdom of God made manifest to you and to I by way of the cross. This is the ultimate wisdom. You can gain all knowledge. You can be the smartest person. You can be able to work the computer, correct the computer. You can do all of these things. But to not know Christ is the greatest folly of any person. Oh, to know Christ. That is the beginning of wisdom. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy. And he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer.